In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, and God, the Holy Spirit. Be what you see. Receive who you are. These famous words are attributed to St. Augustine of Hippo, who said them to the newly baptized catechumens as they received their first communion at the Easter Vigil service. By using this phrase, Augustine meant to focus their attention on the action of the Holy Spirit, who, through baptism, had changed their frail humanity and incorporated them into the body of Christ, and by whose same action, the simple gifts of bread and wine on the altar were also changed into the body and blood of Christ. Be what you see. Receive who you are. Now, before we go astray here and consider this a call to perfection, let us think about the risen body of Jesus. It is, in fact, not a perfect body. Perfect bodies do not have holes in their hands large enough to push a finger through, nor do they have gaping wounds in their sides large enough to accommodate a human hand. But we know from this same gospel that Jesus' risen body does have these attributes. When the Apostle Thomas persists in his doubt about the resurrection, Jesus comes to the apostles and we read in chapter 20, verse 27, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.'" So you see, the body of Christ is in fact broken. It is at the same time wounded and glorified. And that is precisely the point that Jesus is making this morning when he proclaims to us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The "whoever" part is the key word in this passage, and it is this that sets the Pharisaic Jews of the time into a tailspin. Then Jesus simply reminds them about the manna that their ancestors ate in the wilderness. This, of course, recalls how in the midst of the Exodus, their ancestors complained about Moses, another one sent by God that the people rejected. Unfortunately, the Jewish people throughout salvation history, up to and through the time of Jesus' life on earth, had a pretty good track record of rejecting and killing those that were sent to them by God. And it is clear from this gospel that by now, Jesus is aware that this same people that he was sent to save will reject and kill him as well. In fact, I would say that it is the story that opens the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John that eventually leads to the public humiliation and brutal murder of Jesus. That is the feeding of the multitudes. The story we heard Reverend Helen preach on 3 weeks ago. You see, the real argument between Jesus and the Jews in this passage that take offense at him is this. The Jews in this story are all about good and bad, right and wrong, black and white, insiders and outsiders. They have been raised to believe that salvation is all about what they are doing for God rather than what God is doing for them. They are convinced that through strict observance of Mosaic law and adherence to the 613 mitzvot in the book of Leviticus, they will achieve salvation. They are, in a way of speaking, full of themselves. So full of themselves, in fact, that they cannot stop to listen and take in the words of Jesus here. Their behavior reminds me of a story from ancient Zen Buddhism. Once upon a time, the master had a visitor who came to inquire about Zen, but instead of listening, The visitor kept talking about his own concerns and giving his own thoughts. After a while, the master served tea. He poured tea into the visitor's cup until it was full, and then he kept on pouring. Finally, the visitor could not bear it any longer. "Don't you see that my cup is full?" he said. "It is not possible to get any more in." "Just so," the master said, stopping at last. "And like this cup, you are filled with your own ideas. How can you expect me to give you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" In contrast to the Pharisaic Jews that are self-absorbed and full of themselves, Jesus stands ready at every moment to empty himself for our sakes. Jesus is just the opposite of them in this story. He is all about various shades of gray. He's a both-and kind of a guy rather than an either-or kind of a guy. He's a great listener, and with Jesus there are only insiders. So it stands to reason that the story of the feeding of the multitudes is the only miracle story that appears in all four Gospels other than the resurrection. This story was so important to the early Christian community that it actually appears twice in the Gospels of both Matthew and Mark. It is important because it is a story about radical inclusiveness and the generosity of God. You see, the fact of the matter is that when you get 4,000 or 5,000 people together for a free meal, there is no way to check everyone's credentials. These huge crowds would have definitely included Jews and Gentiles, men and women, sinners and saints, old and young, slave and free. In these stories, Jesus is much more concerned about people's hunger than their purity. This morning, Jesus, our friend and brother, is telling us the exact same thing. He is much more concerned about our hunger than our purity. And as a priest in this diocese once said, as far as Jesus is concerned, there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing that we can do to make God love us less. Our salvation is not about what we are doing for God. Rather, it is all about what God in Christ is doing for us. Jesus today calls us to lives of goodness and not perfection. For Jesus, it is not about what we do that matters. It is about who we are. It's about relationships and who we are with ourselves, with God, and with each other. Jesus meets us as human beings rather than human doings. Jesus also rightly guesses that we may fail sometimes, and so does our church. Our human frailty and failures are actually embedded in our prayers. Consider, for example, this promise in the baptismal covenant itself. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? And we respond, I will, with God's help. Notice that it is not written to say, if you fall into sin, but rather, whenever you fall into sin. We pray this in our confession. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. In one of our Eucharistic prayers, we pray, in Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness. And finally, in one post-communion prayer, we pray, and now send us out to do the work that you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ. Do you hear that? We are to be faithful witnesses and not perfect witnesses. We are also to be inclusive as Jesus was radically inclusive. And I think we do quite a fine job of that here. Our table is open to everyone seeking a deeper relationship with God. You don't have to be an Episcopalian here to share this holy food and drink. And you certainly don't have to be perfect. If you did, there'd be an awful lot of leftovers. In the World Council of Churches text on baptism, Eucharist, and ministry, we read this. Reconciled in the Eucharist, the members of the body of Christ are called to be servants of reconciliation among men and women and witnesses of the joy of the resurrection. As Jesus went out to publicans and sinners and had table fellowship with them during his early ministry, so Christians are called in the Eucharist to be in solidarity with the outcast and to become signs of the love of Christ who lived and sacrificed himself for all and now gives himself in the Eucharist. I hope this passage makes it clear for us that what will happen shortly at this very table is not about what we are doing, but rather about what God is doing. It is here that Christ will be made really present through the action of the Holy Spirit, and here that Jesus will give us himself in the Eucharist. It is to this table that Jesus invites everyone as he did while he was among us in the flesh. This table is all about radical inclusiveness and the generosity of God. It is to this table that Jesus, our friend and brother, invites us today with all of our warts and implications to behold what we are and to become what we receive. Amen.